listened with interest to an exchange between the court and the government's counsel. I suppose the only time in my life that I've ever had or will ever have the opportunity to say that I represent the United States was when I was a soldier. So I don't know what it feels like to say that I argue for a different sentence on behalf of the United States. And of course, I'll never know what it feels like to hear those arguments from your perspective. But today I know this. Today I know that I've been given an opportunity to say something to you that I didn't expect I'd ever have. And that is to speak for the people of an American territory in a part of the world where I've never been, never will be. From an island that's 12 and a half miles long and 5.5 miles wide, that's occupied by people who are 90% under the national poverty level, 86% of whom speak languages called Chamorro or Carolinian in their homes, not English. A place where the hospital, one hospital for all of the Northern Marianas, which calls itself a commonwealth, has so much trouble recruiting doctors that without Dr. Koenig, they can't perform the surgeries they need to perform. And the best estimate we have is that it'll take 2 years to find his replacement, and that's based on how long it took to get the last anesthesiologist who came and didn't stay. I know that 70% of that 12.5 by 5.5 miles is uninhabitable land. I know that the principal industry is tourism because there isn't any other industry, except maybe a few small sweatshops where people make t-shirts. There isn't enough agriculture to feed the people. The people who come as tourists don't come from the United States. They come from Korea and maybe Japan. When they get there, they don't speak English. But they're engaged in tourism. An adventure, I suspect, a one-time adventure to a destination shared by not very many people unless they happen to have left there and gone to Korea or to Japan. I know that almost no one from the mainland United States goes there to visit or to work, to suggest that working there under the conditions and circumstances that Dr. Koenig works there is somehow his choice or a job is a remarkably naive expression. I have tried gently to suggest in the submissions to the court the volume for which I apologize as unnecessary if unnecessary, to suggest that the reason Dr. Koenig is there is because he and his naive lawyer decided in 2007 when we met that this day would come, and that on this day, he and his lawyer wanted to be able to look you in the eye and say to you, I have self-sentenced. I have imposed upon myself a burden. I have become a missionary. I have gone to a place I didn't want to go, to do a kind of work I love to do but not there, with tools and equipment that do not get modernized, without colleagues to assist or a break, to serve people who I've learned to love because they need me, but who were as foreign to me as they could have been. He chose to live his life in North Dakota, then Nebraska, then Montana. If he were sentenced to Yankton, and he were given a pickup to drive across the bridge and go over to the Wygon Recreation Area to work during the day, which I happen to know occurred with at least one lawyer who was here and sentenced by the court years ago, his travel distance would exceed 12.5 miles by 5 miles every day. What he would see would vary, more than it will vary where he works every day. His contacts with people would be more diverse than the contacts he has where he works now every day. His opportunities upon departure would be greater. As for the $200,000 a year that he makes, it's a lot of money. It's about one-fourth of what he would earn here. It's also highly questionable, implicit in what the court read, is the fact that the hospital's broke. The Commonwealth is broke. The United States isn't sending it money anymore, and it's a part of us. It's not foreign aid, because we're broke. And when Dr. Koenig left, he left knowing that the payroll for the physicians at the hospital might not be met next time. It makes no difference to him. He wants to go back. And he wants to go back in part because Cy Pan helped him find himself. Lowell Basedon helped him lose himself. Lowell Basedon deserves some blame here at this hearing and at every other sentencing hearing growing out of what he did that you will conduct today. And that is not to acquit Dr. Koenig, who luxuriated in taxes, well, lack of them, that he should have known better about. But for the people of North Platte, about whom Mr. Russell is concerned, and for the people of the United States, and particularly the medical community, about whom I'm sure the court is concerned about this sentence, I hope that the privilege I have today of speaking up for those people from the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas who want this doctor back because they need him. Because in your hands is an asset, not to be wasted, but to be used. Is an intelligent sentence. And any other sentence would be unintelligent. Out of whatever money he makes, whether they make the payroll or do not make it, whether the amount of the fine is $60,000 or $100,000, he will face the burden of reconciling himself with his state tax liabilities, which are six figures, and with a 75% fraud penalty, which he cannot escape because of his guilty plea. And unless the court's order provides that the restitution is credited for what he pays to the IRS, which is what I think the court intends, he will face a restitution order which does not count when paid as a credit against the penalties to the IRS. Dr. Koenig is going someplace, did go someplace, will, under the court's sentence for consideration, which I hope will be pronounced, that is a penalty. We fought the Civil War to stop slavery and peonage. The court insists on 5 years of his life. If you take a year and a day from me, and he's finished in 10 months, he'll have no license to practice medicine. Under this sentence, he's sentenced to work. It's work that he loves. It's not the kind of place and circumstances where he'd love to do it. I want to close with just one small thought about him. There's a part of me that thinks I should give voice for the persons in the courtroom or otherwise listening other than you to some of these remarkable letters, but I've submitted too much and taken too much of your time. There's one that's not from the medical community, however, Your Honor. It's from a Nebraskan, an accountant, Fred Lockwood from Scotts Bluff. Mr. Lockwood got to know Dr. Koenig because of me. He got to know Dr. Koenig through me because Dr. Koenig needed an accountant. The first half dozen I contacted in Omaha and Lincoln were afraid to work on his case. Didn't want to be associated with this problem. I've known Mr. Lockwood a long time. I think the court may know him. He's had my respect a long time, and he said, sure, I'll help. And his letter about this man, his dependence on, his cooperation with, his assistance to, and his insistence upon compliance through an accountant, makes it clear that there is no need for specific deterrence. He's got it. As for general deterrence, he did it to himself. He wants to continue to do it, and the court will do it with its sentence. As to deployment of an asset instead of wasting one, this is not a time when the United States can afford to waste an asset. Our Congress cannot send CNMI money, but our federal judiciary, seated in this courtroom, can send the people there a doctor. That's what I'm asking it to do.